Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming up on episode 347 of Wheel Bearings, we've got the Land Rover Defender 110, the Chevrolet Corvette E-Ray, and the Lincoln Co. 01, along with the launch of the 2025 Ram 1500 RHO, the Mini Aceman, the Mazda EZ6, the Toyota BZ3C and BZ3X in China, the Buick Electra L and LT Concepts, the new Mercedes-Benz electric G-Wagon, and Honda makes a big investment in Canadian EV production, and we wrap up with Tesla and the end of one autopilot investigation and the start of another one. All that and more coming up next. This is Wheel Bearings episode 347. I am Sam Abual Samet from Guidehouse Insights.
And I am Nicole Wakeham from The Road Reflected and Car Buzz.
I am Roberto Baldwin from SAE International. I also have a podcast if someone wants to listen to it.
Yeah.
SAE Tomorrow Today Briefs. I do the sustainability podcast.
Very cool.
They're quick little 10 to 20 minute thingies.
Nice.
Is it a daily or?
It's every 2 weeks. It's pretty low. Yeah. It's for me. That's okay. They're like, I'm like a week. I'm almost like 3 weeks ahead with podcast recording. I'm just like, hey, I got this person I need to talk to. Or hey, I have an idea. They're like, okay, thanks. And I'm like, here's the thing. So now I don't know where I'm at really. I just know I'm really, really far ahead of my schedule.
They'll send your boss will send you a note say, or your producer and just say, okay, you can hold off for a little while. We got lots of stuff.
Yeah, take it easy there.
Yeah, either that's going to happen or they're going to go weekly and then something else will happen and I won't be able to do it weekly. So I have to slow my roll is what I'm trying to say. Chill out, Robbie. Chill out.
There it is. SAE Tomorrow Today. I will add that to my list right now. There we go. It is now in my Pocket Cast list.
Yay.
All righty. Nicole.
Yes.
You've been absent for a while.
I have, but I have returned from Europe and cruising around and wandering around, and I had the coolest car to drive. Actually, it wasn't that it was cool. It was that we can't drive it here.
It was an unusual car to drive.
What's that?
I said it was an unusual car for you.
Unusual car for me to drive. So I had the Link & Company 01. Okay, can I just tell you? It just says 01, and I looked at the back of the car. I'm like, what's 01 mean? What the heck did they give us? I had to Google it. And I was like, oh, they just call it a 01. Okay. I didn't know what it was called. Because when we went to rent a car for the time we were driving in France, Russ is like, which car do you want? And you know how like they'll say like something like Ford Expedition or similar, or, you know, Ford Mustang or similar. You don't know that you're going to get what you click in the little box. Like it could be the or similar. Nope.
So what was similar to the Lincoln Co. 01?
I don't know. It didn't tell me that. It just was like, I said, click Lincoln Co. because that's different. I don't have that. And that's what they gave us. So we walk out of the parking lot. I'm like, I don't even know what this car is. I have no idea what we're looking for. Like completely blind, like a regular person. I don't know what this car looks like. So we had Lincoln Co. 01, which is a plug-in hybrid. It's actually really cute. It's like black. It's a crossover, I guess we'd call it. And it's black and it has lots of blue accents like along the roof line. And there's like little, some of the cutouts and the actual wheels have blue around them. So it's sort of a striking little car. It's actually, I liked how it looks. Here's the funny thing. As an American, I went, oh, look at the nice small crossover we have. At one point, I was with someone who was from the talking to someone who's from the UK, talking about places. He was like, "Oh, don't go there because your car is too big." Like he knew what I was driving. He's like, "That's a big car to drive there." I was like, "That's cute," but he was right because it was. I was like,
"Oh, like, oh wait, that was a bad idea."
Really, really narrow.
We have slightly different standards of size in here in the US versus everywhere else.
We do, and in fact, the most challenging part of any driving in Europe experience, if you've done this, is to put your car into a parking space in a parking garage, because the parking garage is just doing the loop to go from like level to level. is so tight. And you know, you'll see in a garage in America, there's a couple little scrapes here and there. That thing is just scraped up entirely. Like someone went along that little thing and just hundreds of cars have left paint.
It's like a rainbow of sadness.
It is. Rainbow sadness is people have managed to scratch their cars. So you can get this car, the Lincoln one, in China, Europe, and the Middle East. So we cannot have it here. So, you know, not coming to America, or I don't think so anytime soon. I was surprised by, despite it being what I'm going to call a crossover, it had a lot of room in the back. We had two, say, full-size pieces of luggage. And sometimes when we rent cars, you rent smaller cars, you're stuck putting one in the back seat because you can't literally fit them both into the back, even a crossover. We fit the two of them in the back, and the little cover that comes down when you shut the lid still fit. Like, it just closed it up exactly the way it was supposed to. So I liked driving this, too. This is a fun little car. I discovered something weird. However they have the lane keeping assist set in this car, so much more forgiving. And I'm betting it's because the side of the road is just right there. Like, you can't have a really aggressive lane keep or it would just constantly be going off. Because you're always within a hair's breadth of being off the road on tiny European roads in the country. If it was lane keeping you, it would literally push you into the other lane. Like, there's no room to go left. You just have an inch on each side and go with God. That's like all you've got. I don't know how useful any of that lane keep stuff is over there. So we used it mostly just gas, but we did have one opportunity to plug it in and charge. And it is the stupidest story ever. And I'm going to tell you. So we're going to this little market in this town and it was really cute. I'm like, oh, let's go here. We'll go here. And parking is really at a premium. People are like parked. You know, the cars are small. If they park into a parallel spot head in Europe. Like, parking is at a premium. Everybody is wedged into every spot. But there's one little lot and there are four spots. I'm holding up three fingers, guys. Four spots. I'll try it again. For charging electric vehicles. We have a vehicle that can charge. So nobody can park there, but three of them are empty. All four of them are empty. We're like, we're going to use one. We're going to figure out how to charge this little Lincoln Co. little car. So I say to Russ, I'm like, where's the charging port? And he's like, it's over here. And I'm pulled in entirely the wrong way. So I managed to readjust my car at like an 8,000 point turn to back up. He opens it up. He's like, you're going to kill me. I'm like, what? He's like, that's the gas. Let me figure out. Right.
Wrong port.
But then we're looking and I cannot find the charging port. I am looking everywhere. And I did eventually, but I'm literally pushing. I'm like, this looks like it. No. I can't find it. And it turns out there's like a little panel sort of behind the front fender that says Lincoln Co. And it's like a little door that opens sideways. It doesn't scream door because it looks like a piece of molding. Like, it's not like you see a seam in something that you're like, wait, that opens. Nope. It just matches.
It looks like one of those fake fender vents.
Yeah. It looks like a fake fender vent. And it's the same on both. So it doesn't scream that it's a charging port. But then I went to open it. I could not get it open. I pulled on it. And then I had this moment of like, well, it could be here. No, I feel like if I pull that, I'm pulling off a piece of trim. That can't be right. So I mean, nope. So I literally am in the parking lot in this little tiny town in France trying to get my YouTube video, where's the charging port in the Lincoln One? And I'm watching the video on the world's worst Wi-Fi. So it's like, yep, I got it. Oh, shoot, it stopped. Okay, wait, come on. Okay, now wait, we get a little further. Okay, I know where the charging cable is. It's in the trunk. Come on. There we go. Until I finally found it. And it was that little port. But you have to yank on that sucker. It doesn't have an internal release that I could find. So you just have to pull it open. So yeah, that was literally, we're going to take advantage of this cool spot because we're super smart. 25 minutes later, we have the car finally plugged in and we're walking away. but it was pretty easy to use, you know, got the whole thing done, got it charged up. I think it was ended up being like, we got about 45, no, a little more than that, maybe 50 kilometers of charge out of it in the time we were there. And it cost us, I think when we did the conversion, about $2.75, which is far less than what fuel.
A lot less than putting gas in the car.
Exactly. Which made me really wonder because I charged here. There was no one else there. And I saw EVs in the parking lot. And I guess maybe they're just figuring they can charge at home. So why pay at all for the rates at the actual little charging boxes that they had? But yeah, so there was, and they were empty. We got back, still empty, just us. But I was really proud of myself for actually spending the time figuring it out. And I'm like, okay, you need to either note where this is, make the door open easier, or have something that gives you a hint. Because literally walking around, I'm like, Russ, I can't find it. He's like, what do you mean you can't find it? I'm like, I can't find it. I mean, you sent me to the gas tank, dude. You did no better. Where is it?
I assume there was no owner's manual in the car.
I could not find an owner's manual. If there was
nothing in the infotainment screen.
No, couldn't find anything. We tried that. And I'm just like, I'm going to internet save me. So, yeah. So
thank goodness for YouTube.
Thank goodness for YouTube. So we did find that. And so that was cool. And it's a fun little car to drive. It gets about 46 miles of like equivalent of range. And we didn't quite get it charged all the way back up to that. But it's got, I think, 261 horsepower. If I did all my, things don't tell you the right numbers. They give you different.
I think that's right. Yeah, 261.
That's what
I
came up with. So it's a fun little peppy little car. I mean, people driving through France, for people in the highways and stuff, where people are just like, get out of my way, and you can get out of their way. It was good. And it has a nice interior, has a great. Oh, the only thing they didn't like. Okay, so it has. I've never had this experience in a car before. It's a 12.7-inch infotainment touchscreen, like vertical. It's not the horizontal. And it's mounted very low. Like normally when their big screens are a little bit higher up, this was very low. So when I sit down, the like left inch or two of the screen is literally behind the steering wheel. Like you can't see it. And especially then once you put your hands on the steering wheel, now your arm is further cutting off your view of the screen. So every now and then, like things were, and I was sort of felt myself leaning sideways to kind of see what I was missing on that part of the screen. So it was a poor screen placement, and that, and the inability for me to get the charging port door open were my only two complaints. Otherwise, it was cute. It was fun. It was easy to drive. And I enjoyed it, zipping around in roads that felt like they should have been one lane, but were really two.
So technically you sort of can get this car in the US, but not as a Lincoln Co. And it doesn't look like this, because for those not familiar with the brand, which is probably almost everybody in this country.
Yeah.
Lincoln Co. is one of the 600 or so brands that are owned by the Geely Group.
Yes.
And Geely, of course, also Geely, of course, also owns Volvo and Polestar.
Yeah, those brands we have heard of over here.
Right. And the Lincoln Co. 01 is based on the Volvo-developed CMA platform, the Compact Modular Architecture, which also underpins the Polestar 2 and the Volvo XC40 and C40. I think there's a couple of other vehicles that they sell in China. I think there's a few other vehicles that use that same architecture.
Mm-hmm.
So, the hardware underlying this thing, the suspension, the platform, the powertrain, is actually shared with like the XC40 and mm-hmm. assorted other variants. So it does obviously looks quite different from an XC40, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
If you're going to have multiple brands, then you might as well make them look distinct from each other. And mm-hmm. I like the look of this thing. I've seen them a couple of times at auto shows and stuff like that.
It really does look good. It's a good looking car. I wasn't sure. I don't know. I think because in my brain, I'm thinking Chinese brand and not really something we have here. And it's going to be, I think my expectation was it was somehow going to be like down market, not really as nice. I was going to think it was like, ugh. But styling wise, it's really cute. I mean, it's an appealing looking little crossover or giant crossover, I guess, from your point of depending on your point of view.
My French standards,
giant SUV. But it is attractive, and in the inside, it's attractive too. It's a nicely styled little car. Like, I wouldn't have reservations. But now for pricing, I think, and it's weird because you can't really convert it because things would be different if they sold it in the US, But it's 44,500 euros, which is around 47,500 US ish.
Yeah, well, I think that that includes the value added tax,
right? Which is so about 18%. Yeah, so you can't really do it apples to apples on this,
right?
But when you look at it all, I'm like, that's actually not a bad deal for what you're getting. It's a decent. I liked it. It's funny. If we had it here. I would say, yeah, you guys should give this brand a chance. It's actually really pretty cool. I like this car.
Yeah. And, I like some of the design details, like the one that they have on the website here. It's a blue one with a black roof, and it's mm-hmm. got some blue, a slightly different shade of blue contrasting trim pieces. And then in the wheels, it's got these five pocket wheels.
Yeah.
And two of the five pockets, are painted blue.
Yeah.
And then the others are black, so it's just one of those little details. And then, you look at the interior and the upholstery, again, it's a combination of gray with some blue elements in there. Yep. So it, kind of breaks things up. So it's not just this endless, sea of gray inside.
It really, And it's a nice bright, it's a bright blue. It's really pretty. And I do think that mine had I had a black one, but it still had the same little blue wheel pockets on there, which make it look so nice from the outside. Like, it seems like such a small thing, honestly, but it can be little details that make a car look beautiful. In fact, if you look at the blue one on the site, Sam, you'll see there's like, you can see there's a piece of blue that runs right under the roof line that is not body color stuff. It's there to match the blue. You get that same stripe of blue even on the black one.
So yeah, they've got it across the front, just above the headlights.
Yeah.
Or below the headlights. I think the driving lights are on top and the headlights are below. But anyway, across the front. And then, those wheel pockets. And
so it looks like it was even those little blue stripes were even more striking on a black car because they just
I bet they would be
brilliant bit of color. So it's truly, this was a nice, I was surprised. I really enjoyed this. I think, if they said you can rent one of these again, I'd say okay, because I really enjoyed driving it. It was nice little car.
Well, and one of the interesting things, when Geely launched Lincoln Co. about 3 or 4 years ago, part of setting up this other brand was they wanted to also experiment with different models, different business models. So, you can buy one of these or you can lease it, traditional buyer lease, or you can subscribe to it.
Yeah.
So they have a subscription offer. Month by month. So you've got different options if you're interested in one of these in Europe.
And I'd be curious and I have no idea because obviously I don't have any contacts. We don't do media stuff with Link over here because they're not for sale. I'm really curious how well their subscription service does. I wonder if that does well for them.
I don't know. I think I'll try and reach out to Volvo.
Yeah, I'm curious.
And see if they've got,
they might connection. Have information. Yeah.
And I think I might have a contact there that I met at CES.
Oh, so there you go.
I'll look for that.
I'm curious what I mean, because they make a big deal of that when you look at the site. That's like front and center that you can do that. And I wonder how well it does for them or if they're just promoting it really hard.
Yeah, I mean, it's €600 a month, cancel anytime. Maintenance, insurance, and road taxes are included. 1,250 kilometers a month, so about 800 miles a month. Is what's included.
Which is a lot.
20 cents per kilometer extra. Mm-hmm. And you can cancel at any time. So, if you just need a vehicle for a month or two, you can, as an interim, if something happened to your car and you've ordered another one, but it's going to take a couple months to get it, you can subscribe to one of these, a lot of different use cases for this.
Yep.
So it's cool. I like
it. Yeah, it was a cool little car.
All righty. And Robbie, you didn't have anything this week, right?
I have the i5 right now. The i5 M60.
Ooh.
I know.
The fancy i5.
I wasn't expecting that. But I've driven it for a grand total of like maybe 30 minutes. So I don't feel like
So the next
it's really nice. It's really nice driving it. For 30 minutes. It's very comfortable. It's just, it's like a larger i4, but I don't really have any. Well, that's a teaser. Well, I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Yeah. Can't tell you now. Just hold that thought.
Well, I did drive it last November at BMW Test Fest and it was good. I liked it.
There we go.
I'll be curious to hear your more detailed thoughts on that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I had two cars over the past week. one had been previously scheduled, which was the Land Rover Defender 110. And I haven't, this is the first time I've been in the Defender on the road, at least anyway. And I was kind of, having seen it at auto shows in the past, it seemed like it was smaller than it turned out to actually be. Once I climbed into it, inside it actually feels very roomy. Felt bigger than I expected it to. So I think the Defender 110 is the middle of the three Defender versions that they have. They have the 90, which is the two door, which is a little bit shorter. And then the 110 is the middle one. It's a four door, two row. And then the 130 is a little bit longer, or is it? Is it maybe it's the same size, but it's just a three row version.
It's the same. They're just, yeah, because they just have the two sizes.
Okay, so yeah, it's the same size as the 110, but they add a third row of seats. So you know, if you're used, you know, if you're familiar with the classic Defenders, you know, the old school Land Rovers, you know, this has the same name. But it is nothing at all like that, at least, you know, in terms of the look and feel of the interior and everything. This is, you know, it's a very off-road capable SUV, but it is also, you know, at least in the version that I had, a very premium feeling SUV. You know, this was, you know, it's not cheap. I had the SE. Which has the 3-liter turbocharged inline six and with a mild hybrid, 48-volt mild hybrid system on there. So it does, you know, pretty good auto stop-start capability. It's 395 horsepower, all-wheel drive. There's a two-speed transfer case, so you get four-wheel drive low. 406 foot-pounds of torque, you know, this feels very much more like a modern Land Rover or Range Rover type of vehicle when you get inside, at least in the SE trim that I had. Mm-hmm. You know, really nice leathers. This feels like a luxury vehicle, which, frankly, considering who the likely audience is for this, you know, the people that are most likely to buy this, probably 97% or more of Defender buyers are never going to go further off road than maybe a gravel driveway or, you know, a unpaved, you know, road, you know, just leading up to, you know, their house, or, you know, if they have a house in the outside of a city, you know, or a cabin or something like that.
Their compound.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You can certainly take this thing, you know, and do some serious off-roading with it. It has that capability. It's got locking differentials. I think three locking differentials, front, center, and rear. You know, it's got an air spring suspension, you know, so you can lift it up and get lots more ground clearance. The air suspension package is optional. But, you know, if you get that, it's like $1,600. But it lifts it way up. You get lots of ground clearance with it. The one that I was driving was on 20-inch alloy wheels, which, again, these are clearly the wheels that that are going to be selected by a customer who is never going to take this off-road. you know, it was on all-terrain tires, but, you know, these are really nice, attractive-looking wheels that, you know, although they were painted black, so, you know, five-spoke wheels. And they're good size tires on there, in terms of the sidewall height, you know, and, you know, you could air it down, but if you were serious about your off-roading, you know, you would take this with, a different, you know, probably with an 18-inch wheel, with some bigger sidewall tires,
you can get them down.
Yeah. Get the Steelies. That would be the best, you know, air them down. And, you know, really get serious about this stuff. The 3-liter turbo, six cylinder, very nice engine, you know, as with all inline six cylinders, very smooth, you know, no real vibration to speak of. It's, you know, very nice to drive. It's got, you know, reasonable performance, just shy of 400 horsepower. This is not a lightweight vehicle, so it doesn't feel like a sports car, but it's more than adequate performance. You know, it's got all you're going to need. Lots of features in this thing, you know, 40-20-40 split fold rear seats, really nice leather, covering the dashboard and the doors and the seats, some really nice wood trim, open pore wood trim on the center console. The infotainment screen, the dashboard is kind of interesting because it's kind of got an upper and lower layer, and then there's like a notch in there. So it's kind of, it's concave. So what you end up with on the passenger side is a fairly deep alcove where you know, passenger can store stuff there, put their phone there. And there's even an extra USB-C port there that's to the right of the infotainment screen. So it's accessible to the passenger. So they can put their phone there, plug it in, and store other stuff in there. Got some grab handles in there. The infotainment screen is by current standards at 10.1 inches, relatively modest in size, but it's big enough for the most part. But it's a wide screen, so it's not particularly tall, but it's wide in terms of its aspect ratio, which means that when you look at things like maps and so on in there, they're not necessarily going to show you a whole lot. Just because of the aspect ratio. But you know, it works well enough. The system, the PV Pro infotainment system, was fine. There's lots of stuff that you can mess around with in there in terms of the off-road settings and things like that. The built-in voice recognition system, if you're trying to navigate anywhere with this thing, it's pretty miserable.
I didn't even bother.
Yeah, well, I usually try them, you know.
Yeah, I try them, and I'm like, nope.
And then give up and go back to Android Auto and Google Assistant, which, you know, works pretty much every time. But, you know, the graphics are nice, you know, and other than the voice recognition, you know, it's reasonably responsive. So, you know, everything kind of works.
Or we think it's reasonably responsive. It is JLR with the infotainment system that fades in and out. We don't know.
Kind of, maybe.
Yeah.
You're like, we think it. I mean, they've always had this. They're like, is this a bug? Is this a feature? Is this a feature to show that it's not as quick? We don't know.
I didn't experience much of that. You know, it was mostly fine.
It's actually like the feature is like when you hit things, like when you go from things, it like sort of does a nice fade. It's part of the art. Is that it fades in just and out.
Yeah, the animations.
It's our is what you're
the transitions.
So they're using the fancy transitions to hide the slow responsiveness. Whereas if they skip the transitions, the whole thing could probably run a lot faster.
We don't know.
Be three times as fast if it just wasn't so artsy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
See what else? The electronic active differentials I talked about. One of the things that, like many of the other Land Rover, Range Rover type vehicles, this one has the heated windshield. So if you look real close when you're looking through the windshield, you'll see the grid of very thin wires running through the windshield. So in the wintertime, if you've got ice or snow built up on there, it heats up the entire windshield very quickly and melts that stuff off, which is great when you're driving in bad weather. The one thing that this thing could definitely use is a digital camera mirror for the rearview mirror, because the Defender has the spare tire mounted on the tailgate, which, you know, in combination with the rear headrests and the half of the spare tire blocking, a good chunk of the rear window, you don't have great rearward visibility in this thing. So it would be good to have, that camera mirror system instead, so that you can actually see what's behind you. But other than that, it's surprisingly maneuverable for what feels like a fairly large SUV. Pleasant to drive. I had no real issues with it. It was very comfortable. Really good ride quality between the air suspension and everything else. Did great with torn up Michigan roads, so no complaints there. The lane centering assist, didn't really do much in terms of actually assisting. You definitely want to keep your hands on the wheel and pay attention. All in, the as tested, the one that I had was $89,740. You want to take a guess at the destination charge?
$19.95. Girl Shibe.
What are under? $19.94. Did I do that right?
No,
you did 1996.
You either go $1 over or you go $1.
Wait, I was brain cramping. I'm like a dollar over. I went 1996. I'm still not going to win.
There you go. Go 19.
No, it was 1475. So you both lose.
Oh. I did wrong.
Our $1. That's the other.
Yeah, base price on the SE before all the options was $69,300. So quite a bit of options, about 20 grand worth of options on this thing. And it's EPA rated at 20 miles per gallon combined, 18 city, 23 highway. I only got about 15, which is not great. And, you know, that was in mixed driving, you know, both highway and city driving. So not fantastic fuel economy on this thing. But if you want a pretty cool looking, you know, boxy SUV that has the ability to go anywhere, even if you don't actually ever intend to go anywhere, but also has a really luxurious interior, the Defender. And I guess one thing I don't quite get, the one that I had the diamond plated trim on the hood, on either side of the hood, which, you know, traditionally, you know, on old school SUVs, you know, you'd have these, you know, metal diamond plate panels, you know, that you could strap gear onto. But where this was on the hood, there's not really anywhere to strap anything onto. You know, it just kind of seemed pointless in there. But so it is what it is.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Did you know you can support Wheel Bearings directly? Head to patreon.com/wheelbearingsmedia and you can become a patron today. Your contributions will help fund the platforms and tools we use to bring the podcast to you. And exclusives and improvements are already on the way thanks to your generosity. So if you want to be part of an automotive podcast like no other, head to patreon.com/wheelbearingsmedia.
Decorative.
Yes, totally decorative. Not so decorative. A few days before I was scheduled to get the Defender delivered, I got a note from Chevy and said, "Hey, we have a Corvette E-Ray in the Detroit press fleet. Would you like to drive it?" Doing some 3-day loans. She gave me some dates, and the first date was that upcoming weekend, which turned out to be last weekend. And I said, "Yeah, I'll take it this weekend." And so they delivered that to me on Friday, last Friday, and I spent the weekend playing around with this thing, and boy, was this fun.
I liked it a lot.
I had a very good time with the Corvette E-Ray. So currently, there's soon to be a fourth member of the Corvette family introduced. Chevy recently posted a teaser, you know, coming this summer, Corvette ZR1, which will probably be either a supercharged or turbocharged version of the Z06, but we don't know for sure yet. But right now you have the base Stingray with a 495 horsepower 6.2 liter V8. You have the Z06 with that 5.5 liter flat plane crank twin cam V8 and 670 horsepower. And then there's the E-Ray, which is both the first ever hybrid Corvette and the first Corvette with all-wheel drive. And so this has that base 6.2 liter, 495 horsepower V8, plus 160 horsepower electric motor on the front axle, and a 1.9 liter, or 1.9 kilowatt hour lithium ion battery that's in the center tunnel. And then it also has the wide body, so the wider rear fenders of the Z06, basically has the Z06 body work. Except that where the Z06 has things like the that trim, the trim pieces on the leading edge of the side scoops painted black, and some of the trim in the front fascia painted black. You have the exact same panels on the E-Ray, but they're all body color. So the one I had was silver flame metallic with the Artemis interior. You know, I like the C8 Corvette. I like driving the C8 Corvette a lot. There's a lot to like about it. You know, it's as a mid-engine sports car with the kind of performance these things offer, it is remarkably practical. Yeah, I mean, there was a time when you would think of a mid-engine, ultra-high-performance sports car like this, and you know, it was not something you would want to take on a long road trip. You know, it, there was nowhere to put your stuff in it. Basically, it was you and one passenger. And you know, after an hour or two, you'd probably be feeling pretty beat up in this thing. Not the case with, to be fair, most modern, you know, mid-engine cars like this. You know, the Maserati MC20, same thing. The Audi R8, the NSX was like this. So it is, it feels like a remarkably civilized car given the performance capabilities of this thing. You know, 655 total horsepower in this thing, 640 foot-pounds of torque, I think. So it has a little bit less power than the Z06, but considerably more torque. And even given that this is about 200 pounds heavier than a Z06 because of the battery and the electric motor and stuff, it's actually accelerates quicker than the Z06. It's again, given how low this thing is, the door apertures are pretty wide, pretty large. It's actually surprisingly easy to get in and out of this thing. You know, the seats are supportive, but they're, you know, it's not like those carbon shell seats on the BMW M3 and M4 competition that are like solid and like really hard to get in and out of. You know, some Corvettes of the past did not have the greatest seats in the world. The seats in the C8 are really good. They're very comfortable, also very supportive. My only real complaint about the C8 remains that center console, you know, where you've got this kind of wall that rises up from the passenger side of the center console. And it's got this, you know, long string of buttons for all the climate control stuff. You know, so fan speed and temperature and everything else. And it, you know, it sweeps up from the center console up into the dashboard, and it creates this sort of barrier between the driver and the passenger, which I'm not crazy about. And, you know, while I am a fan of having physical controls for stuff like climate control, this long strip, thin strip of identical buttons that you cannot distinguish from each other without looking at the labels on them, you know, not a great implementation.
Not your favorite way to do that?
No.
Just feeling around, hoping for the best.
Yeah. So, you know, there's some, I've heard some speculation that when they do the mid-cycle update on the C8 in the next couple of years, that they're going to redesign that center console, because I've heard a lot of complaints about it. But other than that, you know, I really like this. The last time I drove a C8 back in 2021, which was still relatively new, it still had the older Chevy infotainment system. They've now upgraded it for 2024 with the Z06 and the C8 and the Stingray to the Android Automotive system. So that works a lot better than the old system. You've got a full digital instrument cluster. There's on the center console, there's sort of a hump with a knob underneath it, and you can put your hand on there and you twist the knob to change the drive modes. You know, so you get things like tour and sport and track. And there's on the E-Ray, because the all-wheel drive, they added a weather mode that changes the slip thresholds for the stability control and stuff a little bit to make it a little more sensitive, you know, when things are a little dicey. So on the spec sheet for the E-Ray, Chevrolet lists 0 to 60 as 2.5 seconds. When I when I took this thing out to a spot where there was no other traffic around, I had inadvertently left it in weather mode. And so the first run I did, it was going slightly uphill. And this was the car I was driving was on the Michelin Pilot Sport all season tires. So these are high performance all season tires. You can also get proper, Pilot Sport Cup to summer tires on there, which give you even a little bit more traction. But in weather mode on these all season tires, it went from the first run, it went from 0 to 60 in 3 seconds, going slightly up.
Weather mode on all seasons. Just one more time. Say it again.
Weather mode going uphill on all season tires, 3 seconds flat. When I put it in sport mode, that dropped to 2.5 seconds going uphill with all season tires. This is a quick car. It can get out of its own way.
It can get out of its way, its neighbor's way, its cat's way.
It's one of the advantages of having a hybrid like this. I remember when I tried out the NSX at Milan Dragway, they were showing off the launch control system. And that's the other thing. When I was doing this stuff with the Corvette, didn't even bother with launch control. So no launch control. It was just putting my foot down to the floor and letting it go. And it did that. Might have even been able to go slightly quicker with launch control. I don't know, but it was that fast. No wheel spin. But one of the things they explained with the NSX, and I'm pretty sure they do the same thing with the E-Ray, is when you step on it, you get that first, because an internal combustion engine, it's got to rev up a little bit to get to its peak torque. When you're starting, unless you're, revving the engine, dropping the, doing a brake torque or dropping a clutch if it's a manual, you're not going to be at peak torque, when you start, when you launch with an engine. But with the hybrid, you get the first initial surge of acceleration from the hybrid. And in this case, because the electric drive is on the front wheels, it starts rolling with the electric motor, and then you're getting some weight transfer onto the rear axle as the engine speed is coming up, and then it puts down that power, and it's amazing. It is, there's nothing quite like the like this, and you still have the sound of an actual honest to goodness large displacement V8 engine. So nothing artificial about this thing. The other complaint I had back when I first drove a C8 a few years ago was at that time, and that one was a base level, like one LT trim. And they had, when they launched the C8, they had the digital camera mirrors an option. The one that I originally tested a few years ago did not have that. So visibility out the back is pretty miserable. It's mid-engine sports cars, like all of them, pretty poor visibility. This one had the camera mirror, and it was great because I could see everything. So, much easier to drive in traffic and maneuver around. So this is an easy car to drive, as a daily driver. It's ridiculously fast. I think it looks pretty fantastic. And
it's good value.
That's all. Yeah. When you compare it to stuff like that Maserati MC20 or a Ferrari 296, or even a 911 that has similar levels of performance, this is less than half the price. But I'll get to that in a second. The other thing about this, the practicality of this, somehow they got a shockingly large trunk in the back of this thing, in addition to a smaller front trunk. So the front trunk can hold a couple of grocery bags, you can pop it with the key fob, so you don't have to reach inside to pop that. And the back, the rear trunk, is large enough. Since this is a car designed by General Motors in Detroit, it of course must be able to accommodate the golf bags that you know, automotive executives like to carry around with them, you know, because they go golfing all the time. This can accommodate a golf bag in the trunk. It can also accommodate my stand-up paddleboard, my inflatable paddleboard, can along with the paddle and the pump. I can fit those in the back, in the trunk of the C8, which is pretty amazing. I can't do that in any of those other cars. So list price, sticker price for the E-Ray starts at, this is for the 3LZ. So the base model, the 1LZ, E-Ray 1LZ, starts at $107,000, including delivery. The 3LZ trim that I had, which has a few other things on there, starts at $113,850. And all in, the one that I drove, which also had the carbon fiber package, the side skirts and the really deep front splitter, and the carbon fiber roof panel, removable roof panel, things like that, $126,010, which is not inexpensive.
Not inexpensive.
Yeah.
This is not a cheap car, but when you compare
it, cross shopping it with a Kicks, I can tell you
it's
that.
Right. You know, this is someone who is interested in buying a Chevy Trax is not going to be cross shopping a Corvette E-Ray.
You don't think?
No, but if you are considering, you know, a Ferrari 296 or a Maserati MC20 or a Lamborghini Huracan, this is a bargain. You know, this is absurdly inexpensive compared to anything else that offers this kind of performance in this type of car. Now,
yeah.
Granted, you know, there are some EVs, Tesla, Model S Plaid, things like that. Lucid Air, things like that, that'll run quicker than this, but they won't give you the same kind of experience you're going to have with a car like this. Mm-hmm. If this is the kind of thing you're looking for, then you really can't beat the bang for the buck you're going to get with the E-Ray. And fuel economy, not great, but not terrible. It's EPA rated at 19 miles per gallon combined, 16 city, 24 highway. It's not uncommon with Corvettes, especially on highway cruising, to do considerably better than the EPA number. Approaching 30 miles per gallon, cruising at 70, 75 on the highway is not uncommon with a Corvette. So, definitely if you want a really absurdly high performance sports car that, you know, is also surprisingly practical, then, you know, this is definitely something to consider as an alternative to those European brands.
There you go.
Bam.
Bam.
All right. Let's move on to some other stuff. Speaking of high performance vehicles, the 2025 Ram 1500 RHO was announced this week.
Woohoo!
So with the update, the mid-cycle update to the Ram 1500 this year for model year 2025, one of the things that went away was the TRX, the Hellcat powered Ram 1500. We have the Ram 1500 RHO, which is basically a TRX, but with the high output version of the 3-liter straight six turbo, the Hurricane six cylinder that is increasingly appearing in other large Stellantis vehicles. So you get 540 horsepower instead of 700 horsepower, 520 odd foot pounds of torque. And it looks pretty much exactly like a TRX. What do you think?
I think that's cool. I like the TRX. So I'm glad that we have this because I was sad about the TRX going away.
Yeah. And the other thing is, the TRX was close to $100,000, to get that, with the RHO, they want to make it much more accessible to more people. So its starting price is $70,000. It's like $69,990.
Which is really
only accessible. Only again, 70. That's super close to like the average person is just.
Well, know. It's not even close to the average person, but it's a heck of a lot less than the TRX.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's also quite a bit less than the EcoBoost Raptor, the base Raptor. It has 90 more horsepower than a Raptor and costs about $8,000 less than the Raptor. It's about 150 pounds lighter than the TRX was. So, you know, off-roading, it should actually, you know, and it's better balanced. It's got, you know, it's not as nose heavy as the TRX was. Mm-hmm. So it should actually do, you know, feel a lot better when you're off-roading the thing. It's got more payload and towing capacity. It's not quite as quick. You know, it'll be, I think it's about, a little under 4 seconds, 0-60, compared to the TRX, which is, about half a second or so quicker to 60 miles an hour. But you know, I think, for people that want this sort of high performance off-road pickup, it's a good alternative. Interestingly, you know, when they did the backgrounder last fall on the 25 Ram, you know, Tim Kaniskis said, "We're putting the TRX name on the shelf." They didn't say it's never coming back. And they have hinted very strongly that the name will come back at some point. And, you know, they also, when they did the backgrounder for the RHO, you know, we asked them, do you see a place for electrification in a truck like this? And I said, yeah, absolutely. So I think that there's a strong probability that we will see a TRX again.
Yay.
With some form of electrification in there. You know, they say they have not made a decision on how they're going to do that yet. You know, so there's three options. One is to do a full BEV, like the Ram Rev. But I think that would be too heavy. I don't think they'll go that direction. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, it's going to be range limited, even though it's going to have a ridiculously large battery and it'll have decent range. But the other options are the Ram Charger powertrain, which could work. Or they could do the take the 4xe plug-in hybrid system from the Jeeps and put it in here combined with the V6. Or with the inline six, which, you know, with, you know, they could right now, they, it's, I think 125 electric horsepower in the 4xe Jeeps. You know, they could put a slightly larger electric motor in there, get it up to the same power level, you know, to the 700 horsepower as the TRX had with a bigger battery than you've got in the Jeeps, you know, for, you know, 35, 40 miles of electric range. And, you know, with any of those combinations, I would not be surprised to see them adapt the Fratsonic exhaust system from the Charger so that they make this thing as loud as the TRX was.
I love that name, Fratsonic. That just sounds ridiculous in all the right ways.
Yeah.
It's a JJ fad song.
Yeah. So you guys, you going to order an RHO?
Sure. No. Why not?
No.
No. I am not. I just
don't care. I don't have a point. There's no point for me to have a giant truck like that.
I have no reason to have one, but if I want, I also am like, if I had just money to burn and like, what? Sure, why not? I totally would. I would.
What if what if they had a plug-in hybrid TRX?
That just sounds
like the Fratsonic exhaust.
It's like, I just wanted to have the Fratsonic exhaust. That's all I'm looking for.
It's not Fratsonic. That's all you care about. Fratsonic.
maybe Mopar can just sell a Fratsonic sound system that you can just put in your living room.
There you go. Yeah.
As an accessory.
I like that.
So you can have one on your car or your truck.
Okay.
And you can have one in your living room.
I can get behind that idea.
Yeah. So when you're playing, hook it up to your TV. You know, with you're playing Forza or Gran Turismo, and use that as the sound system.
I think you have a plan. I think there's a marketing opportunity being missed right here.
Absolutely.
But all of this in the Pacifica, and then you can come back to me. You put it all this in the Pacifica and you come back to me. I'll throw you some cash.
That's funny.
How about if we just put a Fratsonic exhaust system with the existing Pacifica hybrid, plug-in hybrid powertrain? Would that work for you?
Nah, I don't know.
That doesn't do it?
I just don't need a loud car. If it's going to be loud, it needs to be essentially a train. That's my...
Okay.
Yeah. I want a Pacifica with all these bits. Just throw all these bits in the Pacifica, and then you got my... You've got my attention. Like, yeah, big engine in a truck.
All right. Robbie, I think you went to LA this past week, didn't you?
I did go to LA this past week. I went and saw the unveiling of the electric G-Wagon.
Ooh.
Or the Geländewagen. Geländewagen electrified. So here's the deal. The G-Wagon, like the Defender, is a really nice accessory for rich people, while also being a spectacular vehicle for what it does. Like the Defender, I love the Defender. I love the G-Wagon. I want people to buy them and do the things with them.
But the things with
them. Take them to Rubicon and Moab and...
Yes, yes.
And all the places.
And so we're making an electric one. I'm like, all right, that's fine. And then they show us the specs. I'm like, this is... And I had to tell them, like, so why did you make this better than the gas version? And the gentleman, the CEO of AMG, was like, well, I want to correct you, but you're not wrong. Because it is. It's better than the electric version. It's got four two-speed motors. It's got a low gear. So every wheel gets its own little motor for the truest of true tech fork... torque vectoring, not tech forktering, tech vectoring. For the most tech vectoring, torque vectoring, you can get it on here, you can get it on the Rivian. It's a box. They didn't really change much. They
still
added
looks a, like a 1979 G-Wagon.
Yeah, they've added a few bits that they added to the gas versions for aerodynamics. There's like a teeny tiny little spoiler above the windshield. They've adjusted a little bit. They threw some cladding on the A-pillar that actually helps with aerodynamics. But you look at it, you're like, I don't know what you're talking about.
So would they lower the coefficient of drag from like 0.5 to 0.49?
Yeah, something like that. Like 0.495555567638 29. There, that's what they... it still has the you gotta slam it doors, which I am a big fan of.
Okay, that's...
I love the
idea of a color. Like, you know, they have you gotta have it green or whatever. Grab all those you gotta slam it doors. That should be a color.
The G-Wagons gotta slam them doors are awesome because it's the last bit of something in the world that you can just slam in anger and know that you're doing the right thing. Like, remember rotary phones or even the little buttons where you just slam the phone down, and when you slammed it down, not only did you get the satisfaction of like just hard plastic, you got that little ding that you slammed it so hard that you made the little bell
inside the phone ring.
Or the old flip phones where you slam it shut.
You're like,
today
you can't do that with your phone. You're like, I'm so angry.
Yeah, it's like, I'm so mad at you. Like before you play it.
Or you throw it and the person doesn't know. They're just like, hello? Oh, I must have lost him. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. The G-Wagon is the perfect vehicle to have an argument with your partner in. You're just like, you know what? Fine. Slam!
I'm out.
But also you're like, hey, I'm going to pick up something at while you're in Target, I'm going to run to Starbucks. Would you like anything?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. Slam! So even when you're happy, you get to slam the doors. Oh, I love the G-Wagon so much. So they brought us down. They showed us a bunch of old G-Wagons, which is nice. And Kendall Jenner's G-Wagon, for reasons, I don't know.
It's Kendall Jenner.
because Kendall Jenner has two G wagons, and it was nice. And then the we had some really nice roundtables, which were wonderful. We got a lot of information, and they showed us pictures of the G wagon. And then they took us out to this park that has a reservoir, and then a G wagon drove down a little dock that they built, and then Travis Scott jumped out, jumped on top of the G wagon, and did a 30-minute set, which was awesome, but also no one said anything about the G. There was no like over the loud speakers. No, ladies and gentlemen, the 2025 Mercedes-Benz G580 with EQ technology edition one. Nope, none of that. No, just the car came out very slowly because they didn't want to drive into the river or into the thing. He jumped out, sang like half a song, jumped on the roof, did the rest of the set from the roof, jumped off the roof, got in, and the car drove away. And then all the celebrities, they were trying to get in front of me to steal my spot. They all like went upstairs, and that was it. And then they had one that all the celebrities and the influencers just stood in front of and took pretty pictures of their pretty bodies with. That was the event. It was a very weird, event. It was fun. Very weird.
Very strange.
Okay. So I have a question for you.
Strange event. Yes.
Yeah. You know, like the Rivian R1, this has four motors. And you know, Rivian, when they first unveiled the R1, they showed a video of it doing a tank turn, but they never brought that to production because they said, yeah, we can't really do this on a production vehicle because, you know, unless the ground is completely flat, you know, you could easily, you know, flip the thing over and get into trouble if you're on non-level ground.
Yeah.
Mercedes showed released a teaser video showing the electric G-Wagon doing a tank turn. Is that going to be on the production vehicle?
Tank turn off-road. Well, here's the rule. They're like, oh, tank turn in off-road mode. So they want you to do this off-road. But okay. Yes, you can totally do a tank turn. I think there's also, you know, they have a – let's just say the G-Wagon's been around for a lot longer than the Rivian. So I'm going to say the suspension. Yeah. The suspension is better.
Yeah.
To be, you know, they have front independent suspension. They have a solid rear axle. They set up the solid rear. They had to redesign the solid rear axle. So, because they have to now mount a motor to it. They had to redesign the solid rear axle, and they had to modify the ladder frame, which is essentially body on frame, but they call it the ladder frame. So that the motors would work, and it has a two linkage, transaxle. So even when it's fully compressed, you don't adjust, the camber doesn't change, which is pretty nice. Because if you're going uphill and all of a sudden you're having compression or you're having, you know, and the camber's change, that means you have a smaller contact patch with the thing where you want to have the most contact patch. So that's pretty cool. So I think because of all that, and it's, they're, you know, the Germans are pretty paranoid about, you know, what they allow, because they know Americans are very, very
litigious.
Litigious is the word, but also, you know, they're German. They're very like, we it's not going to work until it works. And then when it works, it has to work like it's supposed to work. It can, like, they don't half-ass things. Mm-hmm. Let's just say that for the most part, Mercedes and BMW don't half-ass things. How's that? So I think for them, they're like, okay, we can do this in a way that makes sense and is safe. And I'm sure if you're at a certain angle, the machine, it probably won't let you do it.
Yeah.
It'll probably stop you from doing it. I'm sure there's guardrails that keep you from doing it, but they're very much like this. You have to do this when you're doing off-road. When you're off-road, you do this. They don't want you doing it on the streets. But I mean, you know, sometimes you're driving on the road and you're like, oh no, we're going the wrong way. Ah. Push a little button, spin around. Ha ha, now I'm going the right way to drive off. That's going to happen.
So
that's definitely going to happen.
So it's interesting. You know, this has got four motors, but it's still got a solid rear axle. Is the front axle solid or is it independent front?
Independent.
Okay. Yeah. So there are two motors on the rear axle then? And is there no differential?
There's no differential. It's electronic differential is what they're calling it.
Right.
There's no differential. So there's four motors. Every motor, every wheel has its very own motor. It's mounted to the frame.
The motors are mounted on the frame or on the axle?
Motors are mounted on the frame.
Okay.
And then the it's, well, yeah, it's very, yeah, you have to, they didn't show us any technical drawings. That's my big thing right now. Cause I have a lot of questions about the motors because it's a dual transmission, the live axle. We're like, well, there's two motors. We redid the axle in the back, but the motors are connected to the frame. And it's like, hold on.
Yeah, so I'm reading the release here. It says the four motors are integrated in the ladder frame, two in each housing at the front and rear axles. These are driven via short axle shafts, meaning the rear electric motors can also be bolted to the chassis. I've got to see a picture of how this works.
Like, they didn't share any pictures. I've already emailed BMW about, like, I need to see this. I want more information because I mean this event is going to sell it to a lot of like rich people who are going to buy it anyway.
Yeah,
that's what the deal is. They know who their California, United States market is, and it's all the rich, pretty people that were at the event, and then journalists. Mm-hmm. Who may be pretty, but where none of us are necessarily. I mean, some of us have money, but it's usually because our partner has money or a family member had money.
Yeah,
it's not because we're making it rich in the world of riding.
No, definitely not. Yeah, or we have another job that actually pays us. You know,
reasonably. Yeah, yeah. This is like a fun thing that you do, but you've hooked your wagon to somebody with money.
Yeah,
or mom and pa or grandpa had a bunch of money. And now you get to do this fun thing because it's okay if you don't get a few jobs for a month. Yeah. And you just, or you, it's okay if you build up a YouTube following for 6 months without making any money because you're okay. Yeah. Which again, that's fine. I don't care. Good for you. I wish my parents had done better. I feel like they were lazy at this point. I'm a little angry. At least I was upfront with my wife before we got married. I'm like, you know, I'm going to be a writer.
It's just
not going to be a lot of money.
So it's your job to bring home the bacon.
Oh God, no, no, God, no.
No, I mean her.
Like, so you told her. She's aware of what she's getting into.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm just very, I'm very upfront. I'm like, you know.
So
this situation isn't going to be no yachts. Is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Another interesting detail here is the actual name of this vehicle. The Mercedes-Benz G580 with EQ technology.
Okay. First of all, they didn't change it, so it doesn't look like a Toyota Camry in the front, like the EQS, EQE, which, you know, they're updating those. I think Mercedes is just like, you know what, let's forget it. Let's enough with the EQ. I think they're killing the EQ thing. They're going to say, so it's just the Mercedes-Benz G580. That's the electric.
So they'll go back to sort of their traditional nomenclature, but add the with EQ technology for the electric versions.
Yeah. I think that's where we're going to start seeing more and more from Mercedes. If, you know, is like just the with EQ technology, like whatever the number, I don't know what 580 means. I guess it's the horsepower, but that doesn't designate. Because it's 579 horsepower, it's a 580, but that doesn't designate it being an EV. So you just have to be like with EQ technology. Maybe they'll throw like little funny EQ badges at people. Some rich person is going to be like, oh, I want that one because it has the best specs, which it does. And then it's going to come to their house and then they're going to fire it up. And they're like, well, what's going on? They're not going to realize that they bought an electric car. There's going to be one.
Yeah.
There's going to be one very rich person who's just going to go on the site, hasn't been paying attention, probably on a yacht right now.
On a yacht right now, this very minute.
Go online. They're going to call their Mercedes-Benz dealer. Like, I want that G580. They're like, yes, sir. Right away, sir. It'll be 6 months. You know, there's like a 3 month wait time for these, for just G-Wagons in general. And then it's going to show up in the dealership, or they're going to deliver it to their house, and the person's going to get in the car and they're going to be like, oh, I'm so excited. And they turn it on. It's not going to make any noise. Like, what's going on? They're going to put it in gear and it's going to roll around. And they're like, what is happening? Why is this engine so quiet? And they might drive it for a week without knowing.
Yeah. Well, you know, if Mercedes would just put a Fratsonic exhaust system on there, they'd probably never notice.
Exactly. Yeah, Fratsonic.
Yes.
It's Fratsonic.
Mm. Fratsonic, word of the day. Fratsonic. Woohoo.
So, yeah, no, it's...
When's this going to sell?
No, this by sometime in the second part of this year. That's the most they would tell me. It's edition one is the one that's going to be out first. It's probably going to be just slightly south of $200,000.
They say anything about the range?
No range numbers, but you know, based on, you know, there's European numbers for WLTP. So we're probably, I don't know, probably like 250, 240. I mean, it's still a box. No one's buying this for, no one buys a G-Wagon because it gets great gas mileage or they care about efficiency. If I were rich, it's just a G-Wagon that's electric. And I think there's a lot of people who just want the thing that they like to be electric.
And you're not taking a cross-country road trip in your G-Wagon. You're going to leave your G-Wagon, in Beverly Hills. Hop on your Gulfstream, to fly to Miami and pick up your other G-Wagon at the airport in Miami.
Of course.
Yeah.
There you go. So, I like the little blue color that they have for the pictures. Yeah.
I like the tan one.
It makes me feel like I'm in the military.
Yeah.
Driving around.
Because all military vehicles are just like the G-Wagon. They're exactly like
inside.
Yeah. Totes.
That's what it was designed for,
Like the Jeep.
Yeah.
The Jeep.
Except for the other side.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah. Sometimes you forget about that. Whoops. Anyway.
Okay.
So, you know what they didn't tell us? They had this G Roar sound experience.
That is
so they do have a Fratsonic.
It's like a various event sound, but they wouldn't play it for us. And then I got one. Who did I get? The CEO of Mercedes-Benz like Americas to like make the noise. He's like, <"Rrr."
laughs> so the G Roar sound experience includes a G Class specific driving sound, an aura, and various event sounds.
Oh, this sounds very fancy.
I don't know. They also have that new G sound. The thing they did with Will I Am, where this music like adjusts at your speed and like your acceleration and your braking.
Yeah.
I got a demo of that. I'm not a fan. It's just you have to listen to the same song over. No, it's just the same. Like, okay, well, so I'm going to listen to this song for 12 hours. It doesn't go to the next song. And it's just the same bits of the same song. It's just adjusted. It's the mix is adjusted while you're driving. And it's like it's a fun little like bit. It's a fun bit. It's a fun little toy.
So what you're saying
is 5 minutes later is like, okay, I don't care.
So what you're saying is it's as useful as every other technology thing that Will.i.am has ever been involved in.
Kind of, yeah. He just keeps going. I mean, yeah, you know what? If he can get the money, get paid, Will.i.am.
Yeah. I mean, if somebody's willing to pay up for that stuff.
Yeah, I didn't. I was just like, I don't get this. And they're like, I mean, I know what it does, but like, you had to listen to the same song over and over and over. You know, like I'm driving for 20 minutes listening to the same song. I'm like, I guess it just stays on this song.
Yeah. It never leaves
forever. Now I got to pick another song. There's no beginning. There is no beginning and there is no end. Like the Tom Tom set clubs told us. There's no beginning and there is no end. Anyway, G-Wagon, if you're rich, you got 200,000, bucks, and you want to battle it out with Kendall Jenner for a new one or Travis Scott,
take out Kendall Jenner. That wouldn't be hard.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of these kids get like Krav Maga classes now.
Maybe.
Plus, there was a lot of security. A lot of these people have.
Well, yeah, I didn't say you couldn't take on her security. I think you could take her out. I don't know.
Like if you had to you had a boxer.
Right.
Like it was like a Thunderdome situation. So it was just you and Kendall Jenner.
It was just you and Kendall. You win. You, Kendall, and her security. You're done, Robbie. You're just done.
All these people, they work out a lot, though. I feel like they're going to have the longevity. They're going to like, it's going to be like 5 minutes in. I'm going to,
you know, reach.
You're going to be like, oh, I'm really tired. She just has to run around in circles. She just has to run
just reach out. Put your hand on her head and hold her still and let her flail away until she tires out.
She won't, though. These people do so much cardio.
Killed by cardio. That's what's going to happen.
I would just be like, I'm tired. You can have it. Forget it. I'm leaving. And I just get in my little BRZ and just drive off.
There we go. Killed by cardio. There's the title.
Anyway, killed by cardio.
You're welcome.
All right. So this week was also, there was an auto show in Beijing, and they showed some stuff that we can't have. we might eventually have some of it. So let's start with the mini Ace Man.
I like the name. It makes me think of Iceman from Top Gun.
You gotta do that tooth thing or that jaw thing where you. I have an overbite, so I can't do it.
So the Ace Man is smaller than a Countryman. I talked to somebody from Mini this week, and they're not considering it a direct replacement for the Clubman. So the Clubman is gone now. It's out of production. There's no new Clubman coming. It's sort of kind of a replacement for the Clubman, but not a direct replacement. Cause it is slightly larger and it's electric only. Mm. They haven't confirmed if the Ace Man will be coming to North America yet. They either haven't made a decision or they don't want to talk about it yet.
Okay.
But I would be surprised if it isn't offered here at some point in the next year or two. It's kind of a, you know, little, the mini look is evolving.
It's like a little wagon.
It's so cute.
It's
like
a little wagon.
Yeah.
I can get behind this.
It's getting a little less, you know, round, cute, you know, going in a slightly different direction, you know, some more sharp edges, you know, some creases on there. I think it is a cool look. And you know, it's going to have about, roughly somewhere between 200 and 250 miles of range, depending on which version, which battery you get. And I think it's like 406 kilometers, WLTP. So probably somewhere around 220, 230 mm-hmm. EPA range. I think this could be a lot of fun.
You know, wait, does it not have dash cluster? Hold on here.
I think it's got a similar type of interior to the other new minis. So yeah, there's nothing in front of the driver. It just has a big round OLED display in the center.
Does it have the head up display pop up thingy?
I don't know if it has a HUD or not.
I don't think it does. When we had a mini, I didn't like the fact that I had to look at the middle of the car.
Yeah.
So I had a car that did this and it had the middle. And that's why I'm still not a fan of like, hey, we're going to move everything over here. And I'm like, hey, that's not a good idea. oh, well.
Yeah.
It broke my heart, Mini.
There's nothing in the press release about a head-up display. A larger OLED display in the middle, replacing the old LCD.
The electric one has like a little thing on the Hoosits. What do you call it? The steering
column. Steering column.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I don't see anything in the photos on this one.
Yeah, I don't see anything either.
But
these are the brakes.
Yep. That's unfortunately the way the industry has chosen to go. Mm-hmm. The BMW Vision Neue Class X doesn't have a traditional display either, but it has that full panoramic display across the base of the windshield. It's sort of a heads up display type of technology across the entire width of the windshield. So
I'm fine if you don't have a dash cluster, but you have a head up display.
Yeah. Like, all right. I'm okay with that.
I'm fine with that. It's when you're like, hey, you know what? We're just going to get rid of, like, I mean, even VinFast has that. We're like, hey, we don't have this, but.
Well, we're going to give you a HUD.
We're going to give you a HUD. I'm like, all right, that's fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe man, did I lose my mind? What was I drunk while I was in Germany? Like, I'm looking at the, oh yeah, this one has a head up display. Okay. So it's like the Mini Countryman SE4 all.
Okay.
Or all four that has a head up display. So I'm assuming the other Mini does, but the Spaceman doesn't look like it does.
They may put it in there. They may just have left it out of the press release. You know, as we get closer to production later this year, then they may tell us more information.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, head up displays are nice.
Yeah. So another car that was shown in Beijing is the Mazda EZ6 or EZ6 for our friends in the UK. And actually most of the rest of the world for that matter.
Canada too, right?
Yeah, it's Zed in Canada.
Once you say Z, why do we do that?
Pretty much. Because America.
Radical.
You know, we can't do things like the rest of the world. We can't have metric.
We're the only ones who use spell gray with an A. So whenever I would work with UK writers, I'd be like A for America, E for everywhere else. And like, oh, that's a good thing.
I'm oh
like,
my God, I never thought of it that way. That's brilliant.
A for America, E for everywhere. The problem is that I still type it out with an E because I'm an idiot.
So
an American idiot.
So the EZ6, EZ6 is an electric. Well, actually, it's a midsize sedan, rear-wheel drive that'll be available as a BEV, battery electric, or a plug-in hybrid. What do you think?
I think it looks fabulous.
It looks dope.
That looks amazing.
I think after the sort of whoopsie of the
MX-30.
The MX-30, they're like, oh, we should probably do this for reals this time. They could have made that MX-30 like really good.
They could have, but they did not.
It was like 60% Mazda is what it was. And you were like, so
100% Mazda. Did I just go skip?
Yeah.
Even a 50-50 weight distribution. Like,
yeah, this thing's dope.
EV, like, go Mazda. That's awesome.
Mazda. Sorry.
We got sidetracked.
Yeah, see, this is what we want from a Mazda EV.
Yeah.
Something diggity dope.
So, Nicole, there's, you know, looking at the interior photo, mm-hmm. I'm sure that you will appreciate this. There's no more central knob.
Yes.
Just a big old touchscreen.
I'm really cheering.
Just a big old, no buttons.
No buttons
from the wheel.
It's not that I'm anti-button. I just like having a touchscreen too, and that stupid rotary dial controller appears.
That wasn't better. It wasn't a good alternative.
What's the same motive? Does it say anything about this in here? Like, it doesn't say there is or is not one or what they've done. It just looks like
the photo, there's no rotary dial.
Yeah, the photo. So it doesn't look like there's any kind of weird, wonkity.
Yeah. Nicole is concerned that one's going to appear when you get in the car. Like, this is a picture.
And then again,
and when you turn the car on, like, it just lifts up out of the dash.
No, I was just
like the Jaguar XF.
Yeah, it just sort of appears and it's like, ha ha.
Dang it, they got me. Yeah, they're like, take a seat, Nicole. Wah, wah.
Okay. No word on if we're ever going to see the EZ6 here in North America. Although I wouldn't be surprised if something like this does show up here in the next few years. You know, I mean, at some point they're going to have to introduce some battery electrics, and they've said that they're going to introduce battery electric models here. I think that this could be awesome here. I would love to see this car sold here.
It looks amazing. I think it'd be really good. It looks beautiful.
A rear-wheel drive Mazda 3 wagon EV.
Oh, ooh, man. that would rock,
mm-hmm. Right? Right.
Even if we get the sedan, I'm sure we will never get a wagon.
Well, I mean, eventually they won't have a choice. They want to sell in America or in California.
And then they also had a concept called the Errata, which is an SUV, which is clearly more concept than production, but
very concepty. Doesn't even look real.
It looks like all the other concepts.
That's very that's not exciting at all. But the sedan, the EZ6, I'm in.
Yep. All right. Another couple of
more
vehicles that were showed. More stuff from Beijing. a pair of Toyota EVs, the BZ3C and the BZ3X.
Give them names. Easy to say, man. Why are they doing this?
Give them names. Like Tiger or Dragon or, you know, Kumquat, something.
Kumquat. I would drive the Toyota Kumquat. Just make that car. I'll buy that.
Right? I would drive the Kumquat.
I have heard that they are going to move away from the BZ branding, at least in North America.
That's a little bit wonkity, I think. I don't think it works well.
Yeah. But aside from the name.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, the BZ3 is a fastback, hatchback, sedanish thing. And then the X, of course, is, you know, more upright crossover. What do you think of these? I mean, compared to the BZ4X.
I like the looks of them. I really like the 3X. I have to get my numbers right, which they describe in the thing is the concept of providing a, quote, mobile cozy home. I want a mobile cozy home.
I just want a cozy home. I don't need to go in.
It doesn't even have to be mobile. You just
maybe, and home. Maybe they don't really know what mobile home means in America.
Mobile cozy. That's possible.
It's like the BYD seagull in America. We're like, yeah, seagulls aren't things that we are like, ooh, seagulls. Beautiful
seagulls
bird.
Are not something we're like, ooh, I want one of those.
I really like the 3C.
You like the 3C best?
I do, yeah.
Why? But,
I like it if they just bring that tiny little F-Day Cruiser EV they showed off a few years ago.
Mm. Yeah.
Toyota's just like, hey, look at all these beautiful, awesome-looking EVs. And then the chairman Toyota is like, I don't like EVs. No. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, he's
come
like, I don't think so. We're not doing that.
What is wrong with you? Stop it. Don't show us the cool things. And then be like, meh, these are dumb. No, they're not.
These are stupid.
Give us Toyota quality EVs that we're accustomed to and awesome designs. And we're going to throw a lot of money at you. Come on.
A lot of money.
Yeah. Also, but also thanks for the GR Corolla, sir. The love-hate relationship with Mr. Toyota.
We're mad at you, but also thanks for that one thing you did. We appreciate it.
But also for that really crazy car you built.
Well, and
also, come on.
Yeah. I mean, they've got a few. You got the GR Corolla. You got
BRZ.
The BRZ.
The Supra.
Yeah, the GR86. They've attended to our needs in some respects.
Yeah.
But I mean, something like the BZ3C, you know, as an electric Corolla alternative, I think would be pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
No, that would be dope.
Yeah.
And they're building the Highlander Sequoia, the plant where they build one of those. They're doing EVs. So we're probably going to get it.
That would be the Highlander.
Highlander. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. They just announced a $1.4 billion investment in that factory where they build the Highlander to add EV production starting in, I think, late next year, early 26.
Yeah. So they're giving the people what they want.
Yeah.
Americans want big, giant, you know.
Yeah. They're going to have an electric three-row crossover, which,
fine.
We need more three-row crossovers.
Yeah, there's not enough. Yeah. But what we really need is the tiny FJ Cruiser EV.
Yes, absolutely.
I just want a tiny little utility car or a tiny little truck. I want a little Ford Maverick-sized Toyota EV truck.
All right. Moving on to Buick, our last thing from Beijing. They have the Electra L and the Electra LT. These are pretty special.
Give me a wagon.
Yeah, I want that LT.
Right?
Put the dog in the back. That would be a great replacement for the Regal Tourax.
Oh, I like that. Those are beautiful. Like,
you can get a Regal Tourax for like $5 now. Because America.
Yeah.
How much is a Regal Tourax?
Great concepts. These are great. I like these.
Yeah. So Buick is using the Electra brand as their sub brand for EVs in China. And apparently they will be bringing that branding to North America as well when they start launching their EVs here eventually at some point. We don't know when.
Someday.
But hopefully one or both of these will be part of the Electra lineup in North America when they arrive here.
That would be nice. They look good. I'm rooting for Buick. So people always give Buick a hard time. Like I did a design thing with them a few weeks back and it was like, oh, it's a Buick blepper. Like, you know what? Leave them alone. I like what Buick's doing with their designs. I genuinely, genuinely do. And I'm like, come on, hold it together. Like I'm rooting for them.
All right. Let's move back to North America here. Honda on Thursday announced, had a big announcement at their assembly plant in Alliston, Ontario, with they had Doug Ford, the Premier of Ontario, and Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada there, to announce that they are investing $11 billion U.S. in their Alliston complex for an entire EV ecosystem. They're building a new assembly plant. Their current assembly plant builds Civics and CRVs. They're adding another assembly plant with 240,000 unit capacity. They're building a battery plant with 36 gigawatt hours of battery capacity. And that's going to be a joint venture with a yet unnamed battery supplier. They're also doing a joint venture plant next door with POSCO Chemical to manufacture the cathode materials, and then also another joint venture plant to build the separators for the batteries. So they're doing all the stuff there. And eventually at some point down the line, they also want to do a recycling plant there. So
it's a lot.
Make an element. If they do all that, first of all, I mean, it's smart to put all that in one spot. Because that whole area is going to get a ton of jobs. Good job, Canada.
Yeah, right.
But also, you don't have to travel. You don't have to move all this stuff around. If this all ends up with us getting an Element EV, I'm totally fine.
Amazing.
Right? Right? My brother
That would be perfect.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a perfect car for an EV. I wrote an article for, I don't know, some site a while back about cars that should be brought back as EVs. And so many people were like, I was going to go to your article and yell at you for not picking the Element. Like they were like, people are out there just waiting. They're champing at the bit for this Element EV. And my brother has an Element and it's in primo condition. Cause my brother takes care of things. Unlike me, who's just a mess of a human. My brother, like, he's like, it's in such great shape that when he dies, I get taken that. But I also have rights of first refusal, like when he sells it, which means I'm not going to refuse it. And he's coming up we're going to Japan next week for 2 weeks. And he's coming up and I told him to bring the Element. He's like, oh, my wife needs it because she's taking all the dogs to the vet at the same time. So he has a Volt and an Element. He has got two amazing cars that the automaker made and was like, I don't know if these are doing so great, killed. And then afterwards, those cult followings.
Yeah. Well, given the current popularity of, you know, these more squared off SUVs, you know, like the new Santa Fe and other stuff, you know, it would make sense to bring back, you know, a modern Element with an electric drivetrain.
Oh my God. It would.
I think you could probably do really good now.
A former drummer, his Element, he set it up so he has like a bed. So the bed's above everything and it slides in and out and he can put everything underneath it.
Oh, perfect.
The Element's such a great car. And they could come out and you could throw like five or six Moto Compactos in there.
I'm sure you could put more than that in an Element.
Well, that's true.
You could put a whole palace.
You could put 40. You could put 40 Moto Compacto. So if you have a Moto Compacto, let's say gang, and you want to take over a small town,
just roll in with an element.
Everyone out,
pop out the handlebars.
Boom! You're good to go. Sorry for derailing this to talk about how awesome the Honda Element is, even though it hasn't been manufactured in like 9-10 years.
So,
I love that car. I'm so sad we got rid of it. I feel you. I loved it. I love that thing.
So all of this love for the Element means that we'll probably get an electric Pilot coming out of this factory.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well. All right. One last story I want to address this week. NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, announced that they had wrapped up their one of their investigations into Tesla Autopilot, where they looked at over 1,000 crashes that involved Autopilot. They found that the ultimate cause of the crashes was driver inattentiveness, but the reason why, in a lot of cases, you know, they said there was a critical safety gap in the system that contributed to at least 467 collisions, 13 of which included fatalities, and many others resulting in serious injuries. Even though they closed up this investigation, they launched a new one that is looking at the big recall, quote unquote recall, that Tesla did in December, where they were supposed to address the driver monitoring capability of autopilot and FSD. And when they did that, you know, they were supposed to use the cameras that are in the Model 3 and the Model Y to keep track of the driver, make sure the driver is watching the road and keeping their hands on the wheel. But it turns out to have not actually been a very effective change, because apparently turns out that drivers, you know, vehicle owners can, they have the option to reject the update, so they don't have to take the over-the-air update. Even if they do take the over-the-air update, in the settings, they can go in and turn off the more aggressive driver monitoring. So basically, it takes them back to where they were before the so-called recall. From this original investigation, you know, they said, NHTSA said that Tesla's autopilot design has led to foreseeable misuse and avoidable crashes. Something that, by the way, was identified in the NTSB's first autopilot investigation back in 2016, and NHTSA has done nothing about. So
I went to an NTSB. Remember when the gentleman who died driving the Apple engineer,
Walter Wong?
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Walter Wong. I went to the NTSB sort of event in Washington D.C., and they after like sort of laying out everything they learned, because they can't do anything about it.
Right. They have no regulatory authority.
They spent a good 30 minutes ripping on NHTSA. And they're like, they actually pulled up a tweet that NHTSA had sent like the day or that day, sometime within a few days. It's like, hey, look at all the great deals on, you know, cars are, you know, something about selling cars and how cars are a great deal right now. Mm-hmm. And they're like, NTSB was like, that's not NHTSA's job.
Yeah.
NHTSA's job is not to sell cars. It's to keep people safe. They were livid. Man.
Yeah.
Livid.
Yeah. And that's, you know, there have been multiple NTSB investigations of autopilot related crashes. And, you know, the results have been the same every time. And unfortunately, you know, NTSB has no power to actually enforce any of this. That's up to NHTSA to do. And NHTSA has done nothing. Yeah.
Nothing.
Another investigation, no results, no changes. We'll see if this latest one, you know, looking at, you know, whether, you know, Tesla has really done this recall properly, which clearly they haven't. You know, has any effect, but I'm not holding my breath.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a Tesla and you use autopilot or FSD, remember, these are not self-driving systems. Please keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road at all times. So with that, we actually did have one listener email that I forgot to put in the rundown here.
Oh, this is not on our list.
Yeah. So this is from Brad, it's feedback about the April 21st episode where Robbie and I talked about the Subaru Crosstrek. Hey, first I'd like to thank you for your podcast. There are always great incidents every week. I'm not sure if he meant to say incidents or episodes.
I feel like the proper use of the word incident. That's essentially how my life works. So yeah, great incidents is pretty much, okay. You've got it.
Okay. Anyway, I wanted to make a comment about Sam's review of the Crosstrek Wilderness.
Uh-oh.
I'm a proud owner of the Forester Wilderness for the last year. This is also my first Subaru. And if you're in an area with snow or the like, or like the outdoor lifestyle, their Wilderness trim is the best. The Forester Wilderness is about 2,500 more than the Crosstrek, but has all the same extra bits. The family and I do lots of outdoor things in the Pacific Northwest. We've been off-roading and to ORV parks and had many Jeep owners give us a long look while doing the same things that they're doing with no issue. And you know, like I said, you know, that surprising amount of ground clearance you have, even with the Crosstrek, there's a lot of surprising amount of capability there. When looking for a new off-road light SUV, we looked at the Bronco Sport and the RAV4 TRD models. After looking at many reviews and comparing the prices, Subaru knows its customer base. It's cheaper than those other models and comes with a few extras that those don't have. Highly recommended. Keep up the good work. Well, thank you, Brett. We appreciate that. Oh, and
you know what, Brett, they're fantastic. There's a Honda Element, like 50 miles from my house. It's 2003 for $7,000. It's super clean. It's got Steelys and a manual transmission.
Are you about to buy a new car, Robbie? Is that where, not a new car?
No, I don't have any money.
Would they take a Jaguar X-Type and trade?
No one will take the Jaguar. I'm selling it to my neighbor. I just have to I got to pay a few things on it. And then I'm going to sell it to him. I'm going to trade him for like a bag of beans because I feel like I'm getting the better deal.
Oh, and there was a PS on Brad's note. As a Subaru owner, we do have a dog, a 5-pound Chihuahua. So
the 5-pound Chihuahua totally counts. That covers it.
They come with the dog. I don't think people realize when you go to a Subaru dealership and you pick up your car, there's just a dog in it. Whether you want it or not.
I mean, no, the fleet did not deliver mine, the one that I drove with a dog.
Clearly,
they don't want you to, But if you buy a Subaru, it just comes with a dog.
That's
by law. Yeah. Now, you don't have a choice. And you immediately are in love with the dog.
Then
your lifestyle.
How could you not be immediately in love?
If they notice that you don't like the dog, they just won't sell you the car.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair.
I don't know. I didn't really want a dog, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, man.
We've got other people waiting in line to buy this.
There's children here who are not monsters who would like a dog, so we're going to go with one of them. You can keep your money.
keep your blood money and get out of here.
And none of them are the governor of South Dakota.
Oh my gosh, that whole thing.
On that note, we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each, then get flavorful Tyson natural boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.